Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And here we are, Sam. We're in the final furlong. Finale time. Game week 38 is nearly upon us, and it's going down to the wire. Arsenal and Man City going down to the wire. In fact, I read a nice stat as I was coming on here, which is this is the first time a Premier League season title decider has ever gone down to the last day and not included Liverpool or Manchester United.
Wow, is that right?
It's the first time ever. So listen, we are, you know, Arteta versus Pep, the final countdown. How are you going to feel? Because you'll go into the game, Spurs-Man City, aren't you? On Tuesday. And of course, game week 37 is still in flight, guys. I'm going to talk about that a bit later on.
Yes.
And we'll talk about our teams and how we're getting on and all that sort of good stuff. But how are you going to feel on Tuesday? Because Spurs win and... Let's make an assumption that Liverpool win tomorrow. Big assumption, by the way. But say Liverpool beat Aston Villa. You'd be going into that game, Spurs potentially needing a win to maybe...
It's back on.
Maybe get fourth. But in doing so, hand Arsenal the title. How are you going to feel about this?
Don't know.
It's going to be
honestly,
weird, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's a weird one.
It was like that in the interview at the end of the Arsenal-Manchester United game today when they said to Kai Havertz about, and he said, I'm going to be the biggest Spurs fan ever.
I like that from
like,
Kai.
That was funny. And
he's honest, right?
I was thinking like, yeah, actually, it's really weird, isn't it? Because then they went, come back to the studio and they were talking about, and it was Merson talking, wasn't it? About how, you know, the Spurs fans will be cheering a City goal.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I was thinking, well, not necessarily, because the Monday evening game, your game,
yes,
is actually really critical for us, like, because it could be the difference between fourth and fifth.
Yeah, I mean, if Villa beat us, it's done.
Over.
It's done. Yeah, and then you go into that game and you...
And surely, you know, we've got less momentum, there's less effort.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe.
I don't want to say Spurs roll over, but there's a pretty good chance that sort of Spurs roll over, don't they? Just let that happen.
I mean,
you can't get fourth, I mean, you're probably going to just let City have that game, aren't you? I can't see Spurs putting much effort in. But
I don't think Ange Postecoglou is that kind of manager, Lee.
Yeah, but, well, I don't think he is either. But you can foresee the scenario, can't you, where it's just like, you know, 1-0 down in the last few minutes. Are Spurs really going to be busting a gut to get that equaliser? Or maybe 2-0 down, 2-1. Are they really going to be like, we must push for a winner or an equaliser to help Arsenal out? Just can't see it.
None of this is going to be about helping Arsenal. Let's be clear. No, we won't be going into the game trying to help Arsenal. No.
Yeah.
We'll be going into the game trying to win it for ourselves. I hope trying to win it for the race for fourth. If the race for fourth is done.
Yes.
Will I be upset if we lose?
Not really.
Maybe not. But if the race for fourth isn't done and we could get it, would I be upset if we lost?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would be.
You would be.
It's
honestly
really difficult. The rivalry versus your own club. It's quite a hard one.
Oh, well, I know all the Arsenal fans are going to be cheering you on Tuesday.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Of course
no
they will.
Doubt about it. It might not be, the feeling might not be mutual the other way around, but for sure, any Arsenal fans in the chat that were, you know, saying they won't be cheering Spurs on Tuesday.
Well, Kai Havertz and the rest of the squad will be.
You're lying. Nigel the Crab, thank you for the member chat, mate. Been a member here for 26 months, a long term. One of the OGs of being a member here at FPL Family. So hello, Nigel. Nice to see you. Evening, Mr. and Mrs. B. Sam, you look fab. She danced, doesn't she? Look at the hair.
Oh,
looks
thanks.
Great today.
We
had a little family do, didn't we, today?
Yes, yeah, it's our baby niece's christening day today. So we had... We went out, so, and then I came back in. You actually came back in and were home for a little while, hence the change, not wearing your suit anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas I came back in, quickly got Evie changed and raced her off to a dance rehearsal for a dance show. So I haven't had time to get changed. So you've got me in full christening attire.
Yes. And when we talk about Arsenal Manchester United, I'll probably lead that bit because you've been running around like a nutter all afternoon, taking children to things.
I saw a fair enough of it to talk about it,
but not enough
of it that I could talk about it in the same detail that you did.
Yeah, yeah. Very intriguing game that. We'll talk about the detail later on. Very intriguing game because I actually thought the Arsenal goal came a little bit against the run of play. I thought Manchester United were actually doing all right.
They've got no end product, though, have they?
They struggle in the final third. They do. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And he's also saying, Lee looking smooth. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. 26 months.
Lee did look very handsome today as well, by the way.
Thank you, with the suit on. I don't often wear a suit anymore, do I? With the new job and stuff. I don't.
You can have a look at it.
It's more like jeans and maybe a shirt if I'm feeling, you know, posh. But
if you want to see Lee looking fancy, you can have a look at my Instagram stories from today.
Have you been posting? Oh, well, the guys in the Slack were telling me how much you've been posting on Instagram today.
No, I haven't been posting loads. I did just post that nice family picture that we took. Very so cute.
Very good. 26 months on Team FPL Family. Pleasure to be here, guys. Mate, it is a pleasure having you. It's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure
having
you.
Thank you for moderating the chat over the last few weeks. Guys, it might have escaped, won't have escaped most of your notices that we now have, both have, because you did exactly what you said you'd do, thank you very much, which is buy me a new mic stand. So hopefully,
I noticed you pinch my mic because it's got the fancy pop cover that I have to have for the official pod.
We can probably change that, we'll probably switch that up, but for tonight,
no, it's fine, you can borrow my mic
we've both
here.
Got
as long as you put it back over there for
the
pod. We've
both got the fancy mic, so hopefully this audio should be,
you should sound cracking,
should be, fingers crossed, it should be, the podcaster should be like,
you guys sound great.
The podcasters should be loving it.
Should be nice.
They should be
smooth.
Loving it. We'll see. We'll see. The guys will still tell us anyway.
They can't see what we look like anyway, the podders.
Let's say hello. That's true. Yeah, Simon's saying, oh, you look great and you look smoothly. The podcasters are like, we
whatever,
don't care.
You sound all right.
Sound good, yeah. let's say hello to a few people, Sam, before we get on with the games. Plenty to discuss. And we should say, obviously, loads of football still to go in game week 37. Not least my team haven't even played yet. We've got Aston Villa at Villa Park tomorrow
night,
as you mentioned
Liverpool.
Before. You're looking for us to win that game, of course. And then we've got the kind of second wave of game week 37 with all the doublers that are playing. Most of us will have teams that are, that have got doublers in, a number of them probably. And obviously we've got you and I've got bench boost active. A lot of managers, I think I saw, and you'll be able to tell me if I'm right or wrong, wasn't this the sort of record week for chips played or something like that? I think you told me that stat yesterday.
Which is, I thought, was an incredible stat. Mostly because of when it is in the season. Because obviously, by this point in an FPL season, with two game weeks to go as we were going into this one, that is when dead teams are at their peak. This is when this is where managers have fallen off. They've gone, my team's out of it.
Long time
my
ago,
FPL,
probably.
You know, all of that. So to have the most bench boost played ever, the most chips in a game week ever on record, that is an absolutely unreal stat. So when I heard that, I was like, that is testament to how many more managers are still playing the game this year than in previous years.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I don't want to go off on a massive tangent on it. And maybe we do it next week when we do our kind of season review, if you like. And we'll be talking next week, guys, about our pre-season predictions as well, what we thought was going to happen in game week one.
I don't think I want to talk
about
it.
What actually played out.
I might be right.
Sure you went Kane top scorer and then he got sold the week after, so that'd be interesting.
I definitely did go for Kane as golden boot. I don't know if I wrote, unless he's not in the league and put somebody else. I can't remember if we did that or not.
Possibly. But the tangent I was going to go off and then stop myself, but I'm going to go on it again, is I think two lots of people need a big pat on the back. One is the Premier League. I think the Premier League have done a really, really good job this year of keeping managers engaged, right? You know, you've got the two podcasts every week. I think you, Kelly and Jules are like brilliant. The chemistry is amazing on that pod, isn't it? It's brilliant, right? And even when Ian came in, he did a great job. You introduce somebody new like that and you think, oh, will they have the chemistry? Well, just Ian just slipped straight into it.
Thanks.
So the Premier League doing a great job of keeping managers engaged with FPL.
They definitely are.
I also, and this is a little bit, might come across as a little bit sort of like, I don't know, self-loving, but it's like,
where are we going now?
But content creators, right? Genuinely, if you look at some of the video views that Harry and Raptor and that like we're getting still, it's not game week one, game week two, when like everyone's involved, but it's still getting lots of views. So what does that tell me? That tells me that genuinely, I think you're absolutely right, the data is there to support the fact that this is a more engaging game now and players are playing it for longer. Mm. The fact that Sky Sports are involved now, promoting it and doing the fantasy show, all that sort of stuff, which is great, right? That's absolutely what we want. It makes FPL harder, right? So it's much harder now, I think. You know, in previous seasons, we'd say, okay, well, we're all aiming for a top 10K. That's the kind of bar, isn't it? If you can get a top 10K finish, well done. And don't get me wrong, guys. Anybody that finishes top 10K has done an astonishing job. astonishing job if you're top 10k this year. But I think genuinely, if you do top 100k this year, that is still incredibly good. Incredibly good. Because managers aren't falling by the wayside. Like you say, there's still lots of people playing the game. And even like, you know, you go to work, like when I go into the office and stuff, people are still playing the game. And it's game week 37. Yeah. Which is great. That's what we want.
But I also, I do think that partly that comes down to the kind of Premier League season that we've had this year. Like,
yeah, that as well.
I think the Premier League season has been so engaging this time around. Like, if you think about it, I know that obviously Burnley got relegated this weekend, but we're getting to the last, we're coming into the final game week of the season. The Premier League title is not sorted. The top four is not sorted. The European slots are not sorted. The relegation battle is not over. All of this stuff.
It is though, isn't it? Relegation, doesn't it?
Well, it sort of is, but it's been exciting. My point is that, you know, nothing about the Premier League table has been finalised. Normally, by this point, you're like, oh, City have won the title. The top four's done. European slots, well, they're pretty much... I mean, last year it was like, who's going to get the conference, Villa or Spurs? That was where we were. That was the only real thing we had on by the final game week of the season. So, you know, when you look at that, and then you look at this season, and the fact that it's... like, I know we all talk about how rubbish the defenders have been this year and how hard that's made it in FPL, but... actually, in reality, hasn't that made the games so much more engaging 100%. And fun to watch? Yeah. So when you're engaged and you're watching the Premier League more and all of this stuff, you can see why people are playing it more. And I must admit, I found this season difficult, but I've also loved it. I've loved the fact that it's been a challenge and that it's not been easy. Like,
it's not, FPL's not easy this year.
It's not been easy. It's not. And, you know, if you get a really high finish this year, if you are inside the top 10K, if you finish inside
well
the top 5K,
done.
Exactly, like,
well bloody
that
done.
Is absolutely incredible scenes from where we are with the amount of managers that are still engaged. Like, well done if you are still there. One game to go, one game week to go. It's just, yeah, I've loved it this season.
It's been good. A couple of super chats, Sam, including one from our friend George Day. George, that is a very, very generous super chat, mate. I really appreciate it. You already support us over on Patreon, mate. You don't need to do that, but we appreciate you.
George was on Match of the Day last week, did you know?
What?
Yeah.
George. Oh, yes, I saw the picture of him in the crowd. Well,
in the crowd.
Like half his head.
No, and his... But it was his... But
his boy was on... Was,
no, his little girl. But it was her first game.
Oh, so good.
Like, imagine that. So good. Your first game. Like, George is a Brentford fan. He took his little girl for the first time.
Is his little girl Brentford fan?
Of course.
Oh, bless her.
What?
Lifetime of pain.
Could be worse.
Could it?
There's a lot worse teams you could end up supporting.
Sorry, George. George says, good evening, like me and Sam. hope you're both well. We are doing well, mate. Finale stream day. Do you know what, mate? It isn't.
We are back next week.
I put in the thumbnail, this is the season finale, because this is the lead up to 38. But we will be here next week talking about who's beaten who, me or you. We'll be talking about pre-season predictions and stuff. Hey, well, listen, I'll tell you what. I didn't have Guardiola this week and I was sweating. I tell you, I was
and
sweating.
We've got different captains this week. And after yours blanked, you were thinking, I knew you were having a... Because we were out, weren't we?
Oh my God, I was sweating.
We were out.
Harlan blank, and you've not captained him. You've got someone else. I was like, oh my God, you're going to finish above me.
We were out. We just had Evie, because Max had gone to Spurs with my mum. And we were out with her. We took her for an ice cream in between her dance rehearsals. And at one point, Vardy old obviously gone mental, Harlan had blank. And Lee just turned to me and went, that 60-point lead I had... By the end of this Newcastle game, it could be none. I was thinking, come on.
I was thinking 36 weeks ahead of you and Vardy.
No, you haven't been ahead for 36 weeks. I was doing brilliantly until Christmas. And then
I've still been ahead of you, though.
No.
No?
I remember I was at 3K after game week one.
Were you?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was having an absolute stormer till Christmas, and then it fell apart. And you've been on a steady rise all season.
It has been slow and steady.
I think we swapped over about Christmas time, and since then I've not been anywhere near you.
All right. Well, George continues to say, finale stream day, thank you for all you do this season. Oh, thanks, mate.
Thanks, George.
Look forward to Fest. Yes, Fantasy Football
Can't
Fest
wait for
coming
Fest.
Out. Yeah. And my full season with the FPL family community Woo-hoo. Next season. Thanks for all you do. Love you both. Mate, appreciate you. We really appreciate you. That is a very generous super chat as well. Unnecessary, mate. Unnecessary, but we appreciate you nevertheless. Polkit's in with the super chat. Another one that regularly super chats. Polkit, you don't need to, mate, but we do appreciate you. Hello from Singapore. Love it. Thanks for the entertainment and amazing content. Love every bit of it. You both look amazing. You both look amazing. Listen to you guys. Come on, you guys.
I'm going to make so more nice, of an effort. Maybe I should go to family do's more often. Before. In fact, to be fair, next weekend I probably will look right because I've got to take Evie to her shows. So yeah. I probably will make an effort next week as well. I'll turn up again.
Thank you, the
sun's out as well in the UK.
This is it. We've had a nice bit of weather this weekend in the UK, haven't we? It's been very nice indeed.
It's been
indeed.
Gorgeous all week.
Although I do worry that, do you see the storm at the end of the Man United game?
Yeah, but
I think that's coming south, isn't it? I think we're going to get that tomorrow.
No, I think it's tonight, overnight.
Is it?
Monday and Tuesday look okay, but Wednesday looks dreadful. Oh,
blimey, okay. All right. Joseph Maloney with another super chat. Thank you, mate. Hayley and Sam, hope your weekend is going well and your game week is going well. Also, I'm on 74 after a hit. So not a bad week there, Joseph. Not a bad week at all. We'll talk about, obviously, our teams a bit later on as well, and we'll get stuck into the games. But hello to Sean and Kieran and John and Paul, Daniel Banks, Torben, Duncan Crawford, everybody out as usual. Wilco's here as well. A whole host of you guys. So thank you for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. Sam, let's get stuck into the games. Why don't we do your game first? Let's go there. Spurs 2, Burnley 1. Because I want to talk about this new striker that you signed. He finishes like a centre forward.
But is Mr. Really, Mickey really van der Ven. Well, what a handsome man he is, striking the ball like that.
I tell you what, you know, if we'll talk about Guardiola later on and how he was attacking from that side and how he looked like a proper winger. Mickey van der Ven took that goal like an actual number nine, didn't he? It was a great finish.
So this is where I have to confess, my weekend has been absolutely insane this weekend. So I actually haven't watched Match of the Day yet, which means I haven't seen the highlights of this game.
You seen the Mickey goal?
But all I've seen is the Mickey goal. I gave up my ticket for Spurs this weekend and sent Max in my place because I was dealing with Evie and I was sat. Max's favourite player is Mickey van der Ven, like it is mine. And so when I was sat there watching Evie do her dancing and my phone pinged and I looked at it and it was like, goal, Spurs. And I was like, I actually went, I was like, realised I was on my own in the middle of this theatre just going like a mental person. And I clicked on it. And it came up Mickey van der Ven and I was like, oh my God, my boy's just gone insane in the stands. Then I watched the goal and was like, oh my God,
that was an unbelievable goal. Well,
do you know what I love most though? I don't know if you saw it because I mentioned this to you earlier. There was an interview, I think it was with James Maddison, who said before the game, Mickey van der Ven had gone up to him and said, you're going to assist me today. And then there's a moment on the pitch where they run towards each other to celebrate. And you can see the look in their faces where Madison's just like, how have you predicted that one? Yeah. And it's so nice. Brilliant, brilliant goal. I must admit, when we were 1-0 down, I was like,
here we go again.
Why? Why are we 1-0 down? Because the thing with Burnley is they had absolutely the biggest motivation you could get.
Yeah,
you need a win to stay in the Premier League. But my fear was that if we went 1-0 down, they can sit. They can sit in. They can try and dig in. So I was pleased to see the underlying data for that game suggested that we didn't sit back and just let that happen. We did continue to...
I feel like they executed the game plan quite well, Burnley. Though. Like Burnley.
Yeah,
because
they
were still... Yeah. You know, the blueprint for beating Spurs, if you like, over the last few weeks is to be really narrow, let Spurs have it in wide areas, and just, you know, get the crosses in. And I noticed actually in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, top for crosses this week, interestingly, was Maddison.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing a lot of that was from set pieces as well, maybe. Second, by the way, was Kulusevski and then Palmer in third. So the top two for crosses across the whole game week was Maddison and Kulusevski, which to me suggests that Burnley were trying to execute the blueprint and maybe they just didn't have, you know, like the Chelsea's, the Liverpool's, Arsenal. They've all got the personnel to execute the blueprint to beat Spurs. And maybe Burnley just didn't have it.
Yeah.
But for a while in this game, they were doing a pretty good job of it.
They were.
And so from that perspective, it still worries me a little bit, or it would worry me as a Spurs fan, that there is now this kind of template for beating Spurs.
I wonder, though, how far... Because that injury to Richarlison happened very late on Friday afternoon, right at the end, from listening to what Richarlison subsequently said, right at the end.
Bang, unlucky if you brought him in early.
It's not even early though, Lee. It happened right at the end of the training session, which is why he then didn't get called up for Copa America, which is the only reason why it's even come out before the deadline that he wasn't going to be available. Really, that's the only reason it appeared on the Friday. Like, you make a transfer after the deadline, after the presser on Friday, you think you're safe, right?
So, yeah, totally.
And I think, I wonder... Because my concern was that I was absolutely certain, and I think if you ask any Spurs fan, any content creator, any body that covers or follows Spurs a lot, Richarlison would 100% have started in that match. Now, they'll have done a whole week of preparation for that game, and obviously the City game on Tuesday, but for that game first, with that 11.
Mm.
And suddenly that 11 isn't the
11. And it does change the dynamic a lot.
Massively, because suddenly we're moving. One, that means somebody's playing who wasn't supposed to be playing. Now, that could have been multiple players, couldn't it? Because we've seen him leave Maddison out before in favour of playing Kulusevski in the 10 and Brennan Johnson out wide to allow for Richarlison to come back. Could it be that Richarlison started instead of Brennan Johnson? But there was a lot of different factors. And my fear is that that injury happening right at the end of the training session on Friday meant that Spurs didn't then have a training session with this team that was going to be starting against Burnley. Now, obviously, they do ahead of the Man City game, and obviously the tactics will be slightly different for that one. But I was worried about that. And going into that game, I was thinking, oh, I don't know whether we are going to be playing in the way that we're going to need to and that we've trained for.
What about from an FPL perspective then? Because
Sheffield United in the final game.
The goals are coming from defenders, predominantly, at the moment it seems to be, certainly at the weekend. I noticed Brennan Johnson was second for XG underachievers this week, so with a delta of minus 1.12, and I think a lot of that was that one where he sort of slid into the post and missed it at the back stick there. Maddison also clocking up a 0.6 delta as well on his XG underachievement, so a couple there in the sort of, you know, a bit unlucky bracket, but still, the defenders popping up with goals. With Sheffield United coming up on the last day of the season, albeit away, does that concern you? Is it you have got Son, right? But only Son, as far as I remember. I've got Pedro Porro as well, who obviously popped up with a goal this week.
Your defenders have done all right for you this week. Goal for Pedro Porro.
Yeah,
Carl
so far.
Walker somehow come off the bench and still got six.
Yeah, all good, except didn't have Guardiola.
Saliba.
Didn't
Gabriel.
Have Saliba.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, yeah, yeah. But yes, Spurs final day. I think we're not selling, are we? I mean, the reason I even want to have the conversation is because
the Salah conversation.
Yeah, and I do want to have that because obviously I more than most will want to have Salah for the final game
for
week.
Klopp's final game, you're
Klopp's
right?
Final game? No, not really. Not really. I'm not ready. I'm not. But
I'll buy a box of tissues and some chocolate and leave it here for you. I'm almost
accepting that next year is going to be a bit of a transition year, but I'm not ready for
next
week.
Ernest will be good. I honestly think he'll be good.
I'm not ready for next week, but anyway.
Lee on the stream next week could be a mosh.
I'm sure I will be, yeah, yeah. But anyway, back to FPL. A lot of FPL managers will want Salah for that game, right? Because he's been the player that defines the Klopp era for me.
Wow, yeah.
And, well, I don't know if it could be anybody else. I mean, you could maybe say Henderson, you could maybe say Van Dijk, but Salah, really, he's the...
Bobby?
No, it's Mane. If you had them three, yes. But if you had to pick, if you said pick one, you'd say Mo.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, and I'm certainly one of them, a lot of FPL managers will be going, well, the only way I can get there is I go for Son. And even then, I might need to take a hit to get some money.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go, you know, to get from like Palmer up there's too high. You don't want to sell Palmer anyway, right? Saka may be a sell. Let's see, depending on the injury news we might get after today's game. But Son to Salah, is that a move that you'd want to go for or
no.
Not?
I said to you, didn't I, on Saturday morning when I was going absolutely rogue. Absolutely rogue. Maybe I'll tell that story later when I get to my team. I was going absolutely rogue with my decision making on Saturday morning. And the decision I made on Saturday morning has locked me out of Salah, regardless.
Oh, okay,
because
so you've made peace with it.
Because the money that I had in the bank is gone.
Right.
And therefore, I knew that there was no way I'd be able to go from Son to Salah anymore without taking a -4 or whatever. And I was just like, I made peace with that. And I was like, I can't have him. But what I can do is watch Liverpool Monday evening. Maybe there's a Luis Diaz option or a Gakpo option or, you know, somebody else fun that I can take for the final day. And
you know, they said on the during the Arsenal Man U game that Klopp is one booking away from a touchline ban.
Oh, no.
So if he gets booked in the Villa game, he's banned.
Oh, stop it.
From the final game.
Oh, that can't happen.
It surely can't. I mean,
surely the ref tomorrow night is really lenient, even if he's bad.
Listen, there's nothing for Klopp to get emotional about, is there? Let's face it.
Oh, yeah, but Klopp is an emotional man.
Anyway,
Lee, that'll be heartbreaking.
That's just an aside. Arteta is as well, by the way. But then he didn't get booked today.
So he's okay.
So he's all right. So they mentioned it early on in that game. They said if Arteta gets booked today, he's not going to be on the touchline for, you know, their game week 38.
Oh, wow.
And they went, and I think whoever was on co-coms, I think it was maybe Neville or Carragher, was just like, yeah, Klopp's the same. I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Imagine that.
Oh no, that would be awful.
It would be bad.
Imagine if you had to sit in the stands for your final game at Anfield.
It would be bad. It would be bad. Son to Salah, yes or no? You're in the no camp, aren't you?
I'm in the no. I don't mean, look, I thought, I haven't watched the game. But the last few weeks, Son's performances haven't been great, to say the least. I think Son, when Richarlison's there, is just so, so much better. But obviously, we won't have that luxury for game week 38.
He's still on pens and he's still playing the team that finished bottom of the league.
He's still playing the team that's...
It's kind of mad to take him out of it.
They've conceded over 100 goals. I mean, they've conceded more goals than anyone else in Premier League history. I just don't think you can. So I won't be selling him. I could maybe understand it a bit more if you were really, you know... But the thing is, Salah's still not that... He's not lowly owned, right? So he's not going to give you a massive rank boost. It might be people do it if they want to get up the leagues or whatever.
I think that's a nice boost, isn't it?
Don't you think that this is a Liverpool fan thing, though?
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't like, for me, I'm looking at that game going, I don't really feel like, yeah, all right, it's Klopp's final game. But it's not making me go, I must get Salah for it. Whereas I think the Liverpool fans, with the sentimentality of that, are like, I'd really like...
We can't lose that game. We just can't lose it.
No, I don't think you will lose it.
I can't tell you how awful it would be if we lost it.
Why would you lose it?
Well, I'm just saying we could. Wolves could turn up and be amazing. Right? They could turn up and be like, well, screw this, Klopp game, whatever. But I don't think they will. I think I'll back us to win. But to that end, we'll score goals, and I think Salah will score goals. But anyway, we'll talk about us maybe later on. But from a Spurs perspective, yeah, disappointing to get nothing from Son for this game. We'll wait to see what happens against Manchester City. I was obviously pretty pleased with the Pedro Porro goal. I'll take it. And I think we saw enough from an XG underachiever perspective from the likes of Johnson and maybe Maddison to suggest that, yeah, selling him seems a bit mad. It seems a bit mad when you've got Sheffield United coming up next. So if you do want Mo Salah, you're probably going to have to think of a different way of getting him in.
His record against Man City is actually decent as well.
Just before we move on, this will be the last time we talk about Burnley for a while. Down and out. Sad to see him go, I think. And genuinely...
I actually am a bit sad about Burnley because I genuinely think that Kompany is a great manager. I think he's done a good job with what he's had in the... They've done really well to come up. They've been good in the Premier League. They've not come up
in my pre-season predictions for next week, I'm pretty sure I did not put Burnley as one of the relegation teams to go down. Pretty sure I did not.
I don't remember who I relegated.
In fact, I thought they would be more like sort of mid-table.
Did you?
Because they had such a good record in the Championship. But they just... And they did it here in this game as well. I don't want to go on about Burnley.
Yeah, but they play their way. They've not compromised...
But it's mad.
No, I know that.
They're playing out all the time. Match of the Day did this thing. On the highlights I watched last night, they did a really good job of it. Danny Murphy, was it? Can't remember who was on Match of the Day. Your goals come from like them trying to play it out the back and trying to play.
Yeah.
They just haven't got the personnel to do it. The goalkeeper.
Well, they do in the Championship, but they don't.
Against this quality of opposition, absolutely not.
No, like, I know. Yeah, exactly.
And Match of the Day did a montage. It was a montage of times when they've tried to play out from the back and they've come unstuck. And not just come unstuck and given a chance away, conceded a goal.
Yeah.
Remember one a few weeks ago where the keeper just didn't know what to do. She just kicked it at Calvert-Lewin. It went in. Do you remember that one?
I do remember.
Honestly, I feel for them because they want to play football. It's Kompany's philosophy. They will come again, I'm absolutely sure. I loved his mentality in the post-match. He said, you know, tomorrow is day one of the new season.
Love that, yeah.
And I love that. But you're going to play out at this level against teams that can press like Spurs, like Liverpool, even Everton can press you down in those areas. You want to play out, you've got to have better players on the ball and you need a better keeper than that keeper. He seems like a nice guy, but he cannot play with his feet and he does not make quick decisions with his passing either. His name's Gerbich, isn't it? And he is Gerbich with the ball at his feet, I can tell you. Let's talk about...
Sorry, Burnley.
Burnley.
I don't like being...
Sorry, see you go.
I don't like being the team that relegates somebody either. Like, I don't enjoy that.
It's up to you. You've got to win the game.
I know, but you know.
Let's talk about Josko Gvardiol then. Fulham 0, Manchester City 4.
Did you see that they offered him the penalty? And he turned it down.
Do you know what? This was... Oh, I've never been on such a roller coaster of emotions during a game, because first of all, the team sheet comes out. Walker's not even fucking on it, is he?
No.
So Vardy, I was on it. Walker's not even on it. And I'm like...
You were raging.
Raging.
You were raging.
Not only raging about it, but also raging that we come off of the set at Sky and I'm happily talking. I didn't for a minute think that Walker was going to be benched.
There's the captain.
So I'm not even looking at my phone for
leaks. No, we didn't look for any.
I'm doing Sky. I'm coming off Sky. Oh, thanks. You know, that's the last one for us this season. Really nice to see you all. Taking my mic off. Brilliant. You know, thanks everyone. See you next year. Thanks for having us, all that sort of stuff.
I don't think anyone was predicting.
And then as we're walking out, it's like 3 minutes past 11, past deadline, and I'm like, all right, let's just see the City team. And I'm like, so I didn't even think there'd be a... I thought we'd get a leak, but nothing in my head said, oh, you better check that leak in case Walker's not there.
But it was only it was only like 12:30. We were in the car driving, and you said, do you want the City team? And I was like, yeah, and you read it. And I went...
I was like, what? I went, no, Walker.
Where's Walker? And you were like...
Yeah.
On the bench. And I was like, what?
Obviously I'm going to say this. Everyone in the chat's going to be like, yeah, all right, Lee. If I'd have seen a team leak that Walker's benched.
Well, Kelly did it.
I'd have done Walker to Vardy.
Yeah, Kelly did it.
I'd have done it.
Because I was raging.
And I'd done it for a hit as well.
Because in my head, I was like, as soon as that Vardy goal went in, I was like,
yeah.
Jules, no Vardy, he's got Walker.
Yeah.
Kelly, no Vardy, she's got Walker. Ian, I don't think he's got Vardy. I was like, this is huge for me. So I go on Live FPL only to discover that she did it. And I text her. I was like, what happened? She was like, I did it just before the deadline.
She saw the leaks. Yeah. Of course. And I think most would have. I would have done it. I absolutely would have done it. But never mind. So he's not in the team. Then Guardiol scores. And you told me, oh, Guardiol's... I'm just like, I can't believe it. So I'm really pissed off now. And then I'm a little bit less pissed off because...
Kyle Walker's come on for Ake.
Walker
injury.
Comes on, unfortunately for Ake, he got a go off. Walker comes on, but he comes on with enough time to get the clean sheet if it sticks. So I'm like, okay, well, if Guardiol can just
stay at one goal
and nothing else, then we might just get away with this. And he just pops up with the second goal, doesn't he? Pops up with the second goal.
It's a good goal as well.
And he was dangerous all game, Sam. I was watching him in that the Match of the Day highlights. When did I say it? Maybe it was on the Ohana, or I was off the bench, I think, with Harry last week. He said about the comparison with Cancelo, and I said, yeah, he's like Cancelo, but without the drama. With Cancelo, it was almost like, oh, could he be rotated? Is he going to get injured off before 60? We're always a bit like...
Pep wanna play.
We're a bit like, oh, we're willing to take that risk because there's the upside. Well, with Vardiol, I don't think there's any of that risk. No. And you're getting a really, really attacking player.
It's funny, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant player.
But it is funny with City because every season... About game week 35-ish, 34, there's one player who hasn't really been, like, standing out massively over the course of the season.
Oh, I don't know. The last few weeks...
No, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere around game week 34, 33. When City really start to, like, crank it up, there's one player who's been fine all season, but nothing, like, massively standout. Just been, you know, doing a good job. Who suddenly turns absolute beast mode on.
Yeah.
And like last year it was KDB. Year before, was it Bernardo Silva, I think?
Yeah.
Who went mental towards the back end of the season. This year it's Vardiol.
Yeah.
Who's just suddenly gone, hello, you must own me.
But you can't underestimate how good his performances are. He's a centre-half. I know. Right? He's a centre-half. Left-footed centre-half. And Pep's just like, can you just play out there for a bit and see how you get on? And if you thought Van der Ven's finish was good, which it was, some of the Guardiol finishes were fantastic. So that's the second bit of roller coaster emotion. And then the final bit was they get the penalty. Now, first of all, I'm raging because my captain's gone off. So Haaland's gone off, so he's not taking
it. I actually breathed a sigh of relief.
And you breathed a sigh of relief because you didn't captain Haaland. You've gone against him this week, which I love, but you've got away with one there. And then Walker, my player,
tries to give it,
is having a conversation with Julian Alvarez about give Vardiol the penalty. And I'm just like, no, please don't do this.
But Alvarez agrees to it. Is Vardiol going, no, you take it?
Well, I think Vardiol says no to the... Yeah, you're right. He says, no, I don't want to take it because... And he's right, because if you look at the goal difference between the two of them, say they draw with you at the weekend on Tuesday.
He wants it in the back of the net.
He wants it in the back
Guarantee.
Of the net. And I'm not a penalty taker. You are, Julian. You take it. He takes it. He scores. Vardiol's vindicated.
Yep.
But there is a world where
he gets a hat-trick.
He gets a hat-trick.
No, and a clean sheet.
and I'll tell you what, I mean,
21 points was wonderful.
Not having him stung like hell. It really did. And it's really affected my game week, obviously. I don't know if you noticed, but Adam from Above Average captained Vardyol this week. Yeah. And I've got so much time for it because he genuinely, I think his rank is not quite where he wants it to be.
A bit like me.
So Vardyol captain for him this week was just a like, I don't care about this anymore. I'm just going to do it. Yeah. And he just did it. And it's, I'll come off for him. And I had so much love for him because he did. He was on Twitter. And you know the meme of Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street where he's just like that in front of the crowd, like that. He's looking around. It's just like, he's not said anything on his tweet except put that gif. I was just like, so here for it. So Vardyol, definitely, you know, man of the match, you know, the FPL asset of the week.
So far.
Underlying BPS of 45.
He might go off again on Tuesday
night. It
could
get worse for us non-Guardiol owners. It could get worse. Because
or us Spurs fans.
He was very, very good indeed. Talk to me then. City players, which three have you got? Foden, Vardyol and Haaland?
Yeah, so actually my three did all right because Foden chipped in. So that was
Foden did chip
that
in.
Was good. Haaland did nothing. I was delighted, absolutely thrilled that Haaland did nothing because
you didn't captain him.
I haven't captained him again for the second week in a row. You asked me how I'm feeling about going to Spurs on Tuesday night. Mm. This is also another reason why I'm a little apprehensive about going to Spurs on Tuesday night.
Because they're playing quite well.
Because they're playing quite well. And I have to sit in the South Stand and watch Haaland against the Spurs defence that can't keep a clean sheet against anybody. And so the chances of me getting through when I got past the Haaland, maybe we'll talk about Newcastle next, because when I got past Haaland blanking, I saw him walk off and I thought, oh my God. Please, Isaac, now is the moment where you have to go.
Yeah.
You have to be big. This has to go well for me. I need a hat trick from you, all assisted by Anthony Gordon, and it needs to be wonderful. And if it is, then I've given myself the perfect head start to the middle of the week fixtures.
Absolutely, yeah.
As it happens, didn't Alex happen, yeah. decided he couldn't be bothered either.
Bit of a shame, wasn't it?
So...
it was a ballsy move, and I was here for it. When you said I'm going to change it, I was like, yes, fair play. I think I would have done the same. So yeah, it's a shame it's not come off because it was a ballsy move. I liked it.
Yeah, and so now I'm back in the same situation that I was in before, where I'm kind of like, oh, I've got to wait out for midweek. And of course, Haaland plays Tuesday, Isak plays Wednesday, so I'm going to just have to wait and see what happens to know. But
so last game week of the season then, game week 38, just to look ahead to that.
Yes. Keeping all three of them.
I think from your perspective, you do absolutely nothing. From my perspective, do I spend my transfer going from Walker to Vardyol?
I probably would, you know.
I probably would as well. I can't face that again, what we had at the weekend, what we've just had. It is unreal. 21 points, and he looked like he was going to score every time he went forward. That could be my final transfer this season as a sideways move to Vardyol. But listen, we'll talk about
particularly
teams
if it
a bit
gets,
later on.
Particularly if it gets really, really close between you and I. If those points are really close and you're still ahead, you'll hedge it, won't you?
Well, I want to get Liverpool players. And that's what I really want to do.
Oh, there's points hits galore coming for you've got a Liverpool player. You bought one
in. I have. You want to talk about Newcastle? Let's do
it
that.
It makes
then.
Sense, I think.
Newcastle won, Brighton won.
Didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, Newcastle, amazing at home, etc., etc. What happened here?
I don't know. Gordon blanking.
Yeah,
Isak
unusual,
blanking.
Right? Unusual.
But, you know, Gordon, that's his second home blank all season. Isak, that's his first home blank since coming back from injury. I've got the hiccups. I just did not see this one coming. And when Brighton scored, I get notifications on my phone and from various different places. And the first one I saw was the assist for the Brighton goal. And I was like, that's a Brighton goal. Who are Brighton playing? Because I've not... it sounds terrible because they've got a double game week, but I actually had paid very little attention to Brighton because I didn't fancy the double.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Brighton, who are they? And then
Newcastle,
I thought,
clean sheet wipeout.
Newcastle clean sheet wipeout.
But you don't have any Newcastle defence,
no,
right?
I do.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, you've got Trips, haven't you?
Because I got Trips, who did come on for a one-pointer. So I didn't mind the clean sheet going this time because, one, I thought, that's probably good for my Trips pick for next week, for midweek, because... if they're not keeping a clean sheet again, maybe that means that Trips and Pope and all those guys get rolled out again for the midweek fixture.
It was another... talk to people. Tell people about your
Rome-Rogueness.
On Friday and on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in particular Saturday, because
I've had a fun week.
It was Isak captain over Haaland, and I was a bit like, "Oh, that's ballsy," but okay, I'm here for it because you want to chase, and I've got time for it. It's great. The fact that Haaland got nothing in a 4-0 win, where they also got a penalty, you've definitely swerved one, but still, it's fine. And then you brought Trippier in, like on Friday,
Saturday morning,
when you never do changes. And I was just like, Trippier.
You're
not even ready for a comeback, but. Again, I didn't mind it because it's like you're going out there, you're trying to be different.
Okay. So last week affected me massively. And I sat here on the live stream and I said that. Like, that Man City game on Saturday night, it honestly massively affected me. My mood was in the mud on the back of that game because I'd gone different to try and catch up. And it's always a risk when you do that, particularly when you hedge against Haaland. You know that he has the potential to score.
Yeah.
So I was going into it with my eyes wide open, but in my head, it wasn't going to be a 4-0 drubbing. It was going to be, you know, you might get two. That was the worst of it. But it didn't go that way. And when I looked at my team, everybody returned. Every single person returned, and I still got a red arrow on the back of that Haaland decision. And it was made interesting even further because I went on the pod on Wednesday night, which we recorded late. And before we started recording, Kelly said to me, she was like, "Sam, I don't know how you want to talk about your game week." And I was like, "We'll just do it as normal. Like, let's just go for it." And she even said in the build up to the talking about it with me on the pod, she was just like, I don't know how to feel about game week 36 because every bit of me should be delighted with that. Everyone's returned. Everything's great. But the not captaining Haaland thing gave me, and it was a 1.5k red arrow, so it wasn't massive, but nonetheless, it was so infuriating because had I gone Haaland, the green would have been huge.
Yeah. So this week.
So going into this week, I was like, right, what do I now do? Because if I don't go different this week, I don't see the point of doing it last week and losing the 26 points or whatever it was. But then equally, just because you've had a madness doesn't mean you should continue to be mad. So what do you, like, it was, I didn't really know which way to go. Anyway, I wanted to sell Ain't Nori. I came down to, and if you read my article on Scout, you'll have seen, I was looking at the defender options going, I don't want any of you. I didn't want a Spurs defender because I didn't think we'd keep a clean sheet. I mean, I didn't know Pedro Porro and Mickey van der Ven were about to go, you know, off being the strikers. Yeah. But nonetheless, the closest I came was Romero. And I did come pretty close to Romero on Saturday morning. But he didn't do anything. So it wouldn't have made any difference. Dan Byrne just was not inspiring. I didn't want him. And the only other one that I considered was somebody rogue that had a single game week. Oh, Branthwaite. I considered Branthwaite for a while. Now, also, that would have paid off, but I didn't like the fixture for 38 because obviously it's Arsenal for 38.
Sure.
So I was looking at all of this going, I don't like any of it. And then Eddie Howe spoke and we saw a picture of Kieran Trippier in training on Sky Sports News.
Be careful with that guy, though.
I know.
With Eddie Howe.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting a start.
No.
So I went into this with my eyes wide open. I was like, I'm not expecting Kieran Trippier to get the start on Saturday. What I'm hoping for is a cameo appearance. 1 or 2 points, maybe a little assist, that'd be lovely. But I'm just hoping for some game time against Brighton and a start against Manchester United because he's got to build up fitness ahead of the Euros. That was my thinking. And I was like, if I get that, I've got nice fixtures, good assist potential, set pieces against a woeful Man United defence. It could be big.
Yeah.
No one's got him.
Yeah.
Go a bit rogue. But I didn't trust my gut. So I did it on Saturday morning. Because that's the only reason I did it Saturday morning. Because I was like, I don't know what to do here. So I waited and waited and waited. And then I got up Saturday morning and I was like, I want to do it.
Okay.
So I did it.
Good. All right. So you've got Trippier.
Yeah.
You're going to keep him, obviously, for now.
Yeah.
Anything else to talk about in this game? Newcastle were a little bit off colour, I thought. And I noticed Isak, did he go off with a bit of a knock? Or maybe the chat, Torben is saying in the chat, Isak was ill. Definitely something not right with him. He definitely wasn't quite right, I don't think, in that game.
He needs to be better for Wednesday, I tell you.
Well, I think it's probably 50-50 at this stage. But as Torben is saying, They need him. Right?
They do need him, yeah. Particularly as Wilson wasn't in the squad.
And as Looney Tune is saying, yeah, we played awful in that game. Isak went off with a knock. We need him back because Wilson has G-strings instead of hamstrings. Yeah, he does. He does. He does get injured pretty easily. Let's move on then. Let's talk about the game that we watched today. The only game that was on today, Manchester United 0.
Weird to only have one game on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, weird to only have one game. Do you want me to go first on this one? Because
yes, please.
You were running around all afternoon after our daughter, weren't you? So, do you know what? This was an very, very interesting game of chess, this, because actually, for the first 20 minutes, I thought Arsenal were a little bit, for the first time this season, I think, and I wouldn't usually say this about them, I thought the occasion got to them a little bit.
Bit nervous?
I think they're a bit nervous. Okay. For about 20, 25 minutes. And Manchester United, you know, probably were the better team.
Wow.
Probably the better team.
Has said no one all season.
For about 20 minutes or so.
Mm. Then what happened?
What you said earlier on tonight is absolutely true, is that Man United in the final third really struggle. They really struggle. Like Garnacho, the kid is no doubt talented. No doubt talented. But he didn't have to get his head down and just run.
Yeah.
Like, it's always you just get your head up. And like from he's very unpredictable as well. So for Hoyland, who's in there trying to, you know, make his way in the team, and he's got regular starts this year, and it's not really worked out for him this year. Maybe he'll do better next year, I don't know.
Mm.
Probably under another manager. I mean, let's face it, it's probably going to be another manager. But if you're Hoyland, how do you know what movement to make in the box? Because you don't know what Garnacho's going to do half the time.
No.
Right? That would be my thing on Garnacho, is that, is he going to go to the byline, cut it back? Is he just going to stop, turn, and like in-swing across? So if I'm a striker, I can't understand his patterns. So there's definitely no like chemistry between them two yet. They haven't got it yet.
Okay.
I don't know whether they ever will. And then you throw in, and I know he didn't start today, but then you maybe throw like an Antony on the other side, who's like equally erratic and equally head down trying to get his own thing. Mm. It's very difficult, I think, for someone like Hoyland. So I found myself sort of feeling a little bit sorry for Hoyland today.
I guess also it's difficult, isn't it? Because Hoyland usually would have the predictability of Bruno Fernandes there.
That didn't help today, yeah, sure.
Who obviously is really a very good footballer and is predictable and does all the things that as a striker you would want for someone crossing you the ball and all of that good stuff. It sounds as if it was a very late decision on Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Today. So if you've still got him in your FPL teams,
it's okay.
I think it's okay, probably. Hopefully he'll be available for the game on Wednesday evening, the second game against Newcastle.
It's like him to miss even one game, never mind two, isn't it? So
is it like 600 games or something since he's missed one?
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's missed two.
Yeah.
So I would hope that he would be back for midweek if you still have him.
Yeah. But anyway, once that happened, so after the first sort of 20, 25 minutes, then Arsenal score their goal.
Casemiro playing him on massively.
Oh, it's just schoolboy stuff from Casemiro.
But he's not a defender.
Yeah, but listen, our son could play that play. It was, and he's 10. It really was schoolboy stuff. He just didn't, you know, you play in a back line, and it's called a back line because you stay in a line. And he just didn't. He's just sitting there. So in the end, Arsenal getting behind, they get their goal.
Mm.
Could they have had more? Yeah, they could have, for sure. But United still, you know, but again, first sort of 15, 20 minutes of the second half, they came at Arsenal a little bit, right? And the more the game went on at 1-0, the more you could feel the Arsenal players were like, bloody hell, we got to hold on to this.
Yeah.
And I think a team that would have been more clinical and better, just frankly, I can't think of a better word than just better, in the final third,
yes,
would have scored against Arsenal today, and they might have dropped some points. But United were wasteful. Now, at the other end, Onana pulls out a couple of worldy saves, particularly towards the end, so fair play to him. I do wonder whether, if Bruno were fit, Rashford as well maybe, but if Bruno were fit, that could have been a different result today, and we might be talking about, you know, Arsenal dropping points in the title race. But as it is, they didn't. They got the job done, and the defence continues to be elite, continues to be so, so good. There was one tackle where, again, Garnacho was through in a bit of space, head down towards goal in sort of typical Garnacho fashion. And I'm like, every bit of me is just like, get your head up, mate, and find a teammate.
Yeah, find
but
someone.
Anyway, he carried on running. And he's running at Saliba. And I'm like, oh, this could be interesting to see what happens here. You know, tricky Garnacho against Saliba. The timing of Saliba's tackle and the way
he's
he makes
it. He's an outstanding
was
defender.
It was just elite. He is so good, Saliba. He's so good. And when he got man of the match, and I think he gets the free bonus points in FPL, and I don't have him, you cannot begrudge that today for Saliba. He was a mountain.
Yeah.
In a week where actually their forward players were a little bit misfiring and there was a little bit of nerves in the team, he was just there as an absolute rock at the back. He is Rolls Royce. And that tackle on Garnacho today reminded me of like Pete Van Dijk. And I was like, you, mate, are a proper defender.
Yeah,
he's
a
proper defender.
Yeah, but then Saka goes off injured towards the back end of this game.
Yeah, now what was this? Was it like just a collision with the advertising hoardings and maybe another impact injury, or was it a proper one?
I mean, I don't know, because obviously we're going into the game week with Saka being a doubt on Arteta's comments, but then also Tomiyasu apparently a doubt. Both of them get the start. It's very Arteta lately. I don't know. I think for me, it seemed like it was the injury that he sustained, the little cut that he got on. Well, it's not really a little cut, but from that tackle in game week 36, it seemed that that was the issue for Saka going into this one.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to have too many ill effects for that during the game, but then obviously right at the end goes off injured. Now, for me, that's something I'm going to have to consider going into game week 38. At no point would I have considered selling Saka while the title race is still on. However,
as Adam Stevo says in the live chat, Saka never's injured, man. He's a robot. He does seem to.
He just seems to
patch him up and get him out there, doesn't he?
They do seem to sort of oil him again and send him back out. Off you go. Off you carry on. We'll just have to see what Arteta's got to say about him next week. But you know, you can pretty much guarantee that going into that game against Everton on the final day, if they've got a chance of winning the title, which of course they're going to, regardless of what happens with Manchester City on Tuesday evening, they are going to be in with a chance of winning the title on the final day. You know that Bukayo Saka's not on that team sheet. He's going to be there because whatever, come what may, they'll sew his leg back on before he misses out. Like, you know, it's madness. But just want to watch,
good.
I guess.
So, so good. And I don't know if you saw the stuff that's going around. Like, there's a bit of a, just to finish up on the Ten Hag thing, because I don't think he'll be there next season.
No.
And Jason McAteer on Be In Sports today, there's a video of it going on around on Twitter. He talks about the fact, so he's doing his pre-game thing with Gray and Keys and all the rest of it on beIN Sports.
Okay, yeah.
Which is for those that don't know, it's the sports channel out in the Middle East. Yeah. And he's talking about the fact that he knows, you know, he bumped into and was having a conversation with one of the Man United players this week. And they said, oh, who is it? Who is it? He said, no, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I was talking to them. And apparently they're having a conversation about, you know, the manager next year. And, you know, this player was being very, very coy. And apparently McAteer was just throwing some names out there to sort of see the reaction. So he said, oh, Thomas Tuchel, no reaction. He's also Jose Mourinho, kind of no reaction. And he was at Gareth Southgate. And apparently this player he was talking to just sort of gave a wry smile like that. And just sort of like, see you later, like that. So, you know, you can see it. You can see it.
Can't see how that's a good move.
You
though.
Can see it. Sam, we've got to rattle through these games. What else to discuss? Forest 2, Chelsea 3. Should we do that one quickly? Forest are up and Luton are down, all bar a 12-goal swing, I think. If Luton win 6-0 and Forest lose 7-0 on the final week, maybe we see a miracle, but I don't think it's going to happen. Tell me about Chelsea, though, because obviously they've still got their second game of game week 37 to go. And then let's have a look at their fixture. I've forgotten their fixture for game week 38. It is Bournemouth at home, which again looks pretty good. So the likes of Petrovic, Palmer. Shame to see Madueke go off with just a one-pointer this week, because I thought he was actually a reasonable differential. And he still could be. You've got another game to play, right? But
yeah,
off with a one-pointer. Anything else to take from this game? Nice to see Reece James back, of course. 5 minutes in, gets an assist.
Yeah.
It's unreal, right?
But can he stay fit?
Yeah. The one thing I'll take from this, and again, I looked at it on the highlights, and I know it's only Forest, right? But if you think back to Chelsea even earlier this season, they lose this game. Because they haven't got the mentality.
There's a bit of fight here.
But
yeah.
Chelsea are on the turn. I don't know what it is. And he's said all along that he needs time.
He's had the whole season, though.
Is it because we're now at a point in the season where they haven't really got a lot to play? I know they're chasing Europe, so sure.
Conference.
But they're not really playing for much, right? Maybe the pressure's off and they're just sort of going, they're just playing with a bit of freedom, right? Rather than the pressure that comes from being a Chelsea player. But for sure, there's a little bit of something about Chelsea now.
Well, there hasn't
been in the past.
No, there hasn't been in the past. But also they've had I know a lot of clubs have. You have. We've had some. Chelsea have had a lot of injuries.
They've spent £500 million on players. They should be able to deal with that.
Sure, but they still have the same size squad as everyone else. And they've got injuries. And they've had injuries. So it was interesting that the goal was Sterling, who comes back from injury and scores a goal. Reece James comes back from injury, gets
Mudryk
his assist.
Mudryk took his goal well as well, I thought.
Mudryk took his goal well.
He's better.
But Mudryk is another one, though. Like,
but the tweak suits his game. He's got space to run into. Yes, that's what he needs and wants.
But he's another one that, yes, he took his goal well, but there were so many shots that were just everywhere. And it was like, what is this? Yeah. What is this? Like, there's no consistency with him. That's always been my issue with him. I'm trebled up on Chelsea. I'm not doing anything about it. I'll be trebled up on Chelsea for game week 38
as well. Who have you got?
Well.
Palmer? Petrovic?
Oh, and now Cucurella.
Oh, Cucurella. Oh, yeah, because you did gusto to Cucurella last minute, didn't
you? Right, because you stressed me out on Saturday.
Why am I stressing? I'm literally just reading you what's on Twitter.
But you say it in a way where you're like, oh, have you seen what's on Twitter?
Yeah.
And I go, well, no, clearly, because I don't do Twitter. And you go, oh, so Reece James has tweeted. And I go,
yeah,
right. And,
get,
and it says, see you at, what did see you at 5:30?
See you at 5:30 blues, yeah.
So I go, all right, leave it at that. Then you go, oh, Sam, Chelsea have retweeted it. And I go, what? Chelsea have retweeted it, and they've said something like,
and they got a picture of the programme, and he's on the front.
Yeah,
the
they said something like, great to have you back, or
yeah, something like,
welcome back,
know,
or whatever. Yeah. And he's there,
welcome back,
and you're
captain.
Like, and then there's the cat, and he's there pulling the captain's armband, and I'm like, you're literally, and we are 5 minutes from going live on Sky, so I go to the loo, and I'm there, and I'm like, and I'm talking to Sue Smith, and I'm walking back to go live.
Oh, name drop, look at you.
No, because she stressed me out, because she's asking me some questions. And I walk back on set, and I'm walking towards the set, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, I've got Reece James apparently is getting the captain's armband again. I've got Gusto, who's barely fit. So I just went rogue and made another transfer.
So was it that that made...
Yes!
So
yes, Lee!
You do it to me all the time. So on Saturday morning,
yeah,
and we're walking towards Evie's dance rehearsal, so when you come to me and you go, Vardy Elf scored, and then you run off, that stressed me out quite a lot. Not.
That's truthful.
And you knew I was already stressed out because Walker's not playing.
That's truthful. I came and reported the truth. You came and stirred the pot. You basically came over and just went...
Nonsense. Utter nonsense.
Don't think Gusto's going to get any game time. Reece James is going to play.
Anyway, listen.
Reece James has got the captain's armband. Chelsea have retweeted it.
Anyway.
See you at 5:30, Blues.
Anyway.
You knew what you were doing.
Chelsea have got something about them now. Cole Palmer, what a season. I went on Sky on Saturday and said that he was my MVP for the season. And I think he is.
He's got so good.
The most bonus points, the most everything, the most double-digit hauls. The pass he puts through for Modric is just like, the kid's got it all, honestly. I think Chelsea have got a gem there. Whether they meant to sign him or not, I don't know. But they've stumbled across an absolute gem. He's brilliant. He's a really, really top player. Eyes on him for next season.
Maybe we'll buy him.
How are we going to afford him at 9.5, 10 million or whatever he's going to be next season? Ridiculous. Right. Any more games you want to discuss, Sam? Anything else to talk through?
No, I think probably now is a good moment to talk about our teams because it's...
Okay. Can we just give a quick... Sayonara to Luton Town. I know they're
not yet.
Yeah, they are down though, aren't
no,
they?
No, we know.
All right, Luton
next
Town.
Next week you can say goodbye to Luton.
Luton Town, you live to fight another day.
They are not. We've said goodbye to Burnley. We can't say goodbye to two. They're not officially down yet.
All right.
Until the little R appears next to their name, they don't get a goodbye.
Okay. I just want to give a quick shout out to Earthy. Is it George Earthy? What's his name?
George. Yeah.
George Earthy. First senior goal for West Ham. He was delighted, the kid. He was delighted, and he took it very, very well. Ghosted in his movement at the front post. Very, very good. So one to watch.
You can give a goodbye to David Moyes if you like.
Yeah, can give a goodbye to David Moyes. He's well and true. He is going to be on his way, isn't he? So
yeah, that's been announced. Yeah,
that's been announced. What else happened? I did.
Pickford
kept
a clean sheet, and he got two bonus points.
Did not even look at this game. Decore, Calvert-Lewin assists. Pickford with another clean sheet. Whatever, can't be bothered. Right, let's move on.
Pickford has been epic for me since I've owned him.
Pickford has been good for you, isn't he? Yeah. He's perhaps 8 points this
since
weekend.
Since you laughed at me for my Pickford-Petrovic combination, they've actually been outstanding.
Pickford's been alright, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Petrovic, to be fair, as well.
I was going
to
say, did you play him this week? But you obviously bench boosted.
Played
did.
Both, yeah.
You did, yeah. Quick shout out to our patrons. Many of them are in the chat this evening, so nice to see you guys if you are in. Patreon.com/FPL family is where you can get a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives. We do extra Ohana podcasts on a Thursday where we preview the upcoming game week. We do Zoom calls with you if you want like a one-to-one chat about an upcoming wild card or you've got chips to play, all that sort of stuff. And then, of course, we have our Manager of the Month competition, where every month, at the beginning of every month, we reset everybody's scores to zero. Not literally with an FPL. I set them to zero in a spreadsheet that I do outside of FPL. And we have like a monthly competition. So even if you're having a really bad season, you can still win some prizes and stuff. We had FPL Pat, who won our April Manager of the Month. Do you know what shirt he went for, Sam?
No.
He went for Ipswich Town.
Oh, yes, he did.
Ipswich Town shirt he's going to go for, FPL Pat. So I don't think he's an Ipswich fan. I think he just liked the shirt. And he's an Ed Sheeran fan. So he's
Aren't we all Ed Sheeran fans? Looking forward to having Ed in the Premier League.
Looking forward to seeing Pat in his Ipswich shirt in the Slack, which is another thing that we have. We have our Slack community where you guys come in and just talk to us about all sorts of stuff, FPL or otherwise. So patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find all of that. Obviously, we've only got a week to go, but it's a nice time to come and join us, because if you join us, you will be charged for the month of May, and you can still be part of May's competition. But then in June and July, I pause the billing, or we pause the billing, so you won't be charged anything to be part of the FPL family patron community in June and July. And you do then get access to all of the previous content that we've put out in there. Now, listen, if you want to go back and listen to an Ohana from game week 18, then you can. Well, not much value in it, but
to
you
be
can.
Fair, I'm planning to play Euros Fantasy, so I might even do some little pods around the Euros game.
There we go. All right, there we go. So there's a reason to go and check it out. So patreon.com/FPL family. Even if you just want to join, you'll be charged for May, couple of free months over the summer, and then we'll get back into it in August, and you'll be charged in August, and we'll do the Manager of the Month competition, so you can sort of maybe try out, get like a three... try before you buy, almost a little bit. Yeah, yeah. And if actually you think, I've been in here and this is complete guff, then there's no commitment.
No, stop it. No one comes in our Slack and thinks it's guff.
No one thinks the Slack is guff.
The Slack is good fun.
But for whatever reason, you do think that, then there is no obligation. It's not like a 12-month sign-up or any of that, so you can get out of it easy as you can get into it. Patreon.com/FPL family is where all that stuff is at. Right, my team or your team? Who should we do first?
I don't mind.
Let's do me, because it's not so great. So
it's not terrible.
This is my team for this week, and you know, listen, Porro 9 good, Foden 9 good,
Walker?
Jackson, Palmer, Walker clean sheet, Havertz, Gabriel, Raya, Robertson to play. It ain't that bad.
No,
I just haven't got Vardiol.
Yeah.
So if you take Walker's 6 away and you add Vardiol's 21 in, and you add 16 to my score of net 66, I'm on 82, which is really good. But I haven't got Vardiol, so it's not. And I'm on 66 minus 4. So it's another small red. I'll tell you what, this last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, ever since I wildcarded, it's been small red. It's not been catastrophic.
No.
Because even with the Vardiol, which I thought was going to be catastrophic, I've had Porro chip in and Jackson chip in, and Havertz has chipped in with an assist today. And then we'll see what Robbo gets, right? So they've all kind of...
And Gabriel.
They've all kind of pulled together to help me get over the Vardiol nonsense, right? He could do more against Spurs, right? So, you know, we'll wait and see on that one later in the week. But 77k, it's a bit of a shame. Like, I'm like wildcard 35. There was two decisions which have probably cost me my 40 or so k of rank that I've lost since I played the wildcard, which was going for Watkins and not Jackson. That's cost me like 20 odd points.
Yeah.
And I only got Jackson in this week, and then going for Walker over Vardiol. The Vardiol Walker's a 50-50. The Jackson and Watkins is probably not so much of a 50-50. That was a conscious decision to go against the crowd, to go a bit different.
But I just... Not normally I'd sit here and slag you off. But genuinely, I think both of those decisions... Like, I remember sitting doing Ohana with you, talking through those two decisions.
Yeah.
And the day that you did Walker over Vardiol... Walker had just banged those two assists against Brighton and kept the clean sheet, and he looked like he was going to be... He's the captain, right? You thought, he's going to be there every week. He's going to be, you know, regular clean sheets, some attacking returns.
Yeah,
it didn't feel like a big decision between Walker and Vardiol. It very much was a 50-50, and it's just unlucky the way it's fallen, particularly with this week. The Jackson versus Watkins one, again, going into that wild card, it was Ponty of people to go for Jackson because he'd done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but he got the games, didn't he? That was the thing. He's playing two more games than Watkins. So yes. It's kind of obvious, wasn't it? But
but the form wasn't there. The form was there for Watkins. So it was a form versus fixtures decision. You followed the form.
I reflect on it, though, because obviously I do a lot of reflecting with FPL. It does take up a lot of my headspace. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, right? And you have to try and manage that. But there was, you know, other things that were happening in game week 35 when I was planning the wild card. The first one was that game week 34, it was a big double, and it was, honestly, it was one of my worst game weeks of the season. Yeah. It was a crash and burn. I was just like, F this. I can't be bothered playing FPL anymore. This is nonsense. But I had to step away from it for a couple of days to just sort of like get my head, just so I just... It wasn't a mental health break, but it was kind of like, I need to step away from FPL for a couple of days. It's doing my head in.
It was also the Liverpool-Everton game that weekend.
I'm coming to that. So that happened. I had a really bad game week and I was like, right, I've got to put this down for two couple of days. But then you're playing the wild card. You almost can't, can you? Mm. You almost can't. And it was also the Liverpool-Everton game. So we lost the Merseyside derby, the season's falling apart. And I was just like, screw FPL, screw football, I'm in a bad space. I'm not going to even look at anything for 3 days. And it's not an excuse, right? It's just where I was at with my headspace. So had I spent a bit more time having a look at the wildcard, maybe I make those decisions differently in game week 35. But also, the fact that Liverpool's season was going to shit, I was also then looking at FPL. I was looking at it with a different head on, right? All season, I've been very conservative this season. Mm. Very conservative. So I've been chipping away, going largely with the template, little bits here and there. Go for a little Richarlison over here, a little McAllister. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I've been largely going template and chipping away at the sort of small green arrows. That week, when I was doing my wild card, and this was part of the Watkins versus Jackson thing, I was just like, I want to play this now. We've got 3 or 4 weeks left. Liverpool season's gone. I've just had a shit game week. I'm just going to play the game now. So I went into game week 35 with a different mentality than I'd played 34 weeks doing a successful strategy for this season, and in 35 I decided to play differently, and here we are 3 weeks later and it's been all right. It's not been catastrophic,
no,
but I've had 4 small red arrows because I've taken a different mentality to it. So that's again something, you know, you maybe this is one for next week, but again, you look back at the season, you go, oh, what could I have done differently? Well, again, try not to, like, if you have a bad game week, like I had a really bad game week in 34, you just gotta, like, if you can just not let it affect you to the point where you change. I had like a winning strategy for 34 weeks and I changed it. So what are you doing?
But I think that, I think game week 34 double was bad for you. I agree.
Oh, it was. It's bad. Yeah, bad, bad.
I agree. But I actually don't think it was that had the big impact. I think it was Liverpool.
Definitely did. Yeah.
It was the Liverpool game because the moment season's you were like, over. Football.
Yeah. I need some fun out of this somewhere. So FPL.
Yeah.
So, no, I won't have Jackson. I'll have Watkins. And I won't. And I'll do some crazy shit on my wild card. But for sure, that Liverpool season falling apart and the way it fell apart definitely had an impact on how I did, you know, how my mood was.
Yeah.
Honestly, how my mood was. Because I was grumpy bastard for grumpy. At least a week.
Yeah, you were.
At least a week. And how I played FPL, definitely. Yeah. And it just so happened that coincided that
with change the Jackson Halls.
With me playing a wild card. So if you play a wild card with that sort of grump on, be prepared to take 4 red arrows in a row. So anyway,
but they're not massive. So
yeah, listen, I'm really, really moaning now, and I shouldn't be. It's 77k. It's fine, right? It's fine. More to go in midweek, as you can see, loads to go. Still got Robbo to play. His EO in and around my rank is 1.1. By the way,
is it really?
So listen, an assist from Robbo would be magic.
Yeah, absolutely magic.
And then we go into game week 38. We'll talk about transfers and captains in a bit. But 66 minus 4, so a net 62. It's fine, guys. Like, it's not the end of the world, right? Your game week, on the other hand, very, very nice indeed. I had a look at your game week rank, and it's 128k. So 84 minus 4 for a net 80 with loads still to play, as you guys can see. You went against Haaland captain, as we discussed before.
Feel a bit sick about that still.
Still feel a little bit sick about it. Still some narrative to play out on that one, isn't there? I think it's going to be an interesting midweek.
Yeah, my mood on Tuesday evening.
I think you're bang unlucky there. With Haaland blanking and you've swerved it. Let's not 4-0 and they had a penalty and he didn't score it. You've swerved it. So now that you've swerved it, it's like, right, come on, Alex.
I just can't believe.
Come on, Isak. Get me something.
I know. I know. But to be honest, like, I never considered anyone else for the captaincy. It was Isak or Haaland. That was it. There was never a Foden conversation because I got bit last week with him. I never considered Vardiol. So I'm not unhappy about the captaincy decision on Isak. I mean, I might be if he doesn't play on Wednesday night, but I think he will because of Wilson's injuries.
But galore. You weren't to know that he was ill or anything like that. It's Eddie Howe. He's not going to tell you anyway.
No. So look, it is where we are where we are with it. I'm in it. I've got to go to Spurs on Tuesday night. And see,
what if Haaland bangs a couple?
Shut up, and sit in the south stand and watch Haaland and pray that he does absolutely nothing again. And I tell you something, if Spurs can get away with that, with Haaland doing nothing, I will be the most relieved woman on the planet. Mm. But look, you know, Saka did nothing. That was disappointing. But Saliba and Gabriel continuing to be outstanding. I know, they continue to be outstanding.
And that Saliba 9, did he earn that today? He was fantastic.
He was fantastic. Pickford, I honestly can't...
He didn't earn that, he's rubbish.
I honestly can't... Shush. I honestly can't say enough about Pickford in the last 5 weeks or so. Since I wildcarded in Game Week 30...
We're going to win the Euros, you know that.
No, we're not.
It's coming home.
Since I wildcarded in game week 30 and bought in this combination of the double P, Pickford and Petrovic, they have been outstanding. And thankfully, they've been outstanding at different times. I mean, this week I did want Petrovic to keep a clean sheet. He didn't manage that yet, but he might do it, I suppose, in midweek. We'll see. The pair of them have been great. In reality, the team that I set up is what I would have done. Like, that's the bench that I would have had because
I
think that's the only way you can play a bench boost. I know some people like mess around with it, but Saka had the flag. I didn't want to bench Mateta because that man has been a hero for me. So Saka would have been the one that got benched. I'd have benched Saliba over Gabriel. Trippier, maybe there was a conversation. Maybe I might have started him, but that there was enough doubt around how many minutes he'd get.
Yeah.
That I probably would have ended up with him on the bench. So that bench boost so far has been a success.
Decent week. 170k up to now. So 2,327 points. An overall rank change of 24%, which at this stage of the season, that's a big jump, right? You don't really see those jumps at this stage of the season. We're seeing little incremental greens and little incremental reds.
But the thing is, Lee,
this is good.
I said to you, like, I wasn't... And for those of you that watched the Q&A with Az and I on Friday lunchtime, I said to him, I am not happy with 230k, which is where I was. I'm not. So I've got two choices here. I just carry on and know that I'll roughly end up around 230k, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Follow the moves
get
of the market.
To 200k, yeah, yeah. But I'm roughly going to be there. Or I make some decisions.
I'm here for it. I love it. You're playing the game. Nothing wrong with that.
I make some decisions that could mean I tank my rank and end up at 300k, or might just get me inside the top 100k, which is what I'm hoping. Now, I've got...
Big ask, 100k from here.
I've got... But if I got to 150k...
Yeah.
I would see that as a really successful end to this season because it's been a struggle. It's been a real, real struggle.
Last couple of weeks, you've been playing the game and I'm here for it. Isak captain, differential captain last week, getting Trippier in on your bench boost. I'm intrigued to see what happens in game week 38. I'm here for it. You're playing the game. You cannot apologise for playing the game.
I won't apologise for it. I won't apologise for my slightly rogueness at the end of the season because I'm not happy with my rank. I'm not happy with just riding it out and coasting to the end. So let's try and do something about it.
And you talked about Pickford being good for you. Another one that we got a shout and we didn't talk about the Palace game, but bloody Mateta has been great for you, isn't he, last few weeks? What a player.
That was the moment, though. It was that moment back in game week 34 when I was not brave enough to captain Mateta. Yes. That's the moment that changed my end to the season because I was like, I have to stop doing this. I have to stop being a sheep because had I captained Mateta, top 100k would be on.
Yeah, yeah. He was good. 41 underlying BPS this week, which was
he's been outstanding.
Third best. Vardiol top, Vissa second, and then Mateta in with 41 BPS. Eyes on him for next season, I think. Eyes on him.
He's not going to be as cheap next year.
He definitely is not.
None of them will be. That's the trouble.
So anyway, good week, Sam. Good week. Up to 170k so overall with a lot more still to go.
God,
a lot more.
My Tuesday night so many things have got to happen on that Tuesday night.
It's going to be interesting.
Son's got to get a hat trick. Haaland's got a blank.
And you've got to give Arsenal the title. If that happens.
No, I don't.
It's what, Son hat trick, but City 4 goals from what? Foden?
No, they can. Foden and Vardiol can get. They can get almost back to it. So they can get two. They can each get a goal and they can assist each other. While Son goes on a right, because that means no Spurs clean sheet, which is, you know, fine, because I don't have any of their defenders. Good. I'm not asking for much, am I?
No, I'm sure that will happen, Sam. I'm sure that
will
be fine.
And then Isak's got to go to Manchester United, the waterfall that is Manchester United Stadium, and
just fix the roof.
Why have they not fixed the roof yet? And then
too busy paying Anthony $300,000 a week or whatever he's on. Ridiculous. Oh.
That story about him and his photographer. I get Anthony to pay for the blimmin' roof. If he can pay for a photographer to follow him around carrying a Sonic the Hedgehog toy around all season, then he can fix the blimmin' roof.
I can't believe that's true, that story. I refuse to believe it. But he pays for a guy to come to all of his games to take his pictures in case he scores a goal. But you know the Sonic the Hedgehog thing, when he got that out for that goal he scored the other week? That's for his son, right?
Yeah.
That's nice, right?
He's paid a man to follow him around to take pictures and carry that Sonic the Hedgehog.
The guy's got infinite money. He doesn't care, does he?
37 matches. Yeah, but that poor photographer's got to go watch 37 matches of Anthony. Right.
Oh, okay. So you're a professional photographer and some rich footballer's going to pay you a shitload of money to go and watch Man United games. And you're worried about... I do not feel sorry for that guy.
I mean, I think that's torturous.
I do not feel sorry for that
guy. Going to watch Manchester United 37 times this season, that's torture. He's probably paid for the Champions League as well, because they were in that, remember?
Oh, anyway. Right.
Carrying a blooming Sonic the Hedgehog toy around.
It's for his lad. Anything that's doing anything for his
lad. Be good
then.
If you're going to pay someone to come and take your photo and carry that around, be good enough that you're actually using him. Don't just be rubbish every time you come on.
That's why you're not a coach at Man United.
What?
You can't just go up to Anthony and just say, be good, Anthony. You've got to coach him.
I'd go up to him and say, if you want to pay for that guy to come and bring that Sonic the Hedgehog toy, actually make sure you score a damn goal because you're useless.
Be good, Anthony.
He was useless again when he came on today. What's the point of him?
Have you stopped having a go at Anthony?
I have now.
Poor old Anthony. He is rubbish.
I don't know why you're supporting him.
I just think he wanted to do something nice for his lads, so he got his photographer mate, who he's paying a fortune, to bring a Sonic the Hedgehog toy. And when he scores a goal, he gets the toy out, shows it to his lad, and they're like, that's nice.
I want to do something nice for my lad, but I don't make a poor old photographer man come follow me around the world being rubbish.
I thought you'd get so triggered by Anthony and Sonic the Hedgehog. Anyway, right, as usual, we've descended into absolute guff and waffle. Tell everybody, Sam, what is coming up this week? Last week, the last bloody week of FPL season, and then we'll have a little bit of a break for a bit. Well, you don't, you're doing Euros Fantasy, but everyone else can have a break.
You're not going to play Euros Fantasy with me?
No.
I bet you do.
No.
Last
few weeks, I've barely wanted to play fantasy. Never mind Euros fantasy.
True.
I'm quite happy to have a break.
Well, I'm going to spend some time out of the Euros, aren't I? So it'd be nice to have some like actual FPL. Well, not FPL, but you know.
Oh, Webby saying content. Transfers. Good shout, Webby. What were you saying about your... Go on. Transfers for your team? Early thoughts?
Oh, I haven't got any thoughts.
Not Anthony in, Webby. Put it that way.
Absolutely not. Honestly... I know that sounds a ridiculous thing to say, but I genuinely haven't got any thoughts, and I don't
too much football to be played.
Don't think you can have any thoughts going into game week 38 because game week 38.
Luis Diaz, a little bit of Liverpool differential, maybe Klopp's last game. Come on,
I mean maybe,
come
but
on.
I go on. What is there to fight for in the final day? So game week 38. One, I'm making the decision on Sunday.
Yeah.
Two.
What? Because of team leaks and stuff.
I'm making the decision on Sunday. Two, Man United I'm trebled up on. Arsenal, I'm sorry. Man City I'm trebled up on. Arsenal,
say, Man U treble up.
God, no.
How are you going to get Anthony that
I ain't
way?
Got any of them. Yeah. Man City I'm trebled up on. Arsenal I'm trebled up on. That's the title race. I can't do anything about them. I think I'm on the right three City anyway. I think I'm on a decent enough three Arsenal unless Saka's
right
injured.
City.
So that's all right. So that's fine. That's okay. So the big thing now is... Where else is there something to fight for? Is it at Villa Park? Is it at Sheffield United? Is it... we have to wait and see where's there something.
Yeah.
So that's another big factor. And then, of course, if there's injuries or problems going into the final game, I've got a huge benching headache, as it is.
Have you? Have a look at your team.
Look at your team.
Yeah, I suppose in a week where we've all set up for bench boost, you are going to have a benching headache the next week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a playoff free Arsenal. I've got a playoff free City. So that's six of my 11 gone.
All right, so the answer to Webby's question is we haven't got a clue.
So, no, I don't know. I
captaincy?
Don't... Depends what
depends
happens.
Depends what happens, yeah. Depends what happens.
I foresee a rogue captaincy in my game week 38.
Again?
Because, Lee, you're
why
in it.
Why the hell not?
Because I'm in it. I'm in this now.
Yeah.
I've committed to the madness. Now is the time to see through.
Okay.
So what's coming up this week? Oh, no, you've got to do your transfers. Go on.
Well, same as you. I haven't put much thought into it.
You're going to end up with Salah or a Liverpool player, surely.
No.
You've got Vardiol.
I'd have to do a hit to do Salah. So Walker to Vardiol looks like it could be on. I can't be missing out on any more Vardiol holes. The only way I don't do that is if I do want a Liverpool player of some description. I bought Robertson in this week.
You've got a Liverpool player now.
Well, I bought Robertson in this week just because Maguire was injured and I just did not fancy any defenders. Like, I just was like, who do I get?
Well, that's why I bought Chico.
And I've got a Man City defender. I've got the wrong one, but I've got the Man City defender. I've got Burn in there, my Arsenal defence. So who do I want? I was like, screw it. I will have just literally, for the sentimental vibes, I've gone Robbo. And then when I saw that his EO was 1.1, I was like, oh, all right. So he could get like a jammy corner assist or something. Can I get a bit of a
like
boost out of that? So I'll
I like a bit
that.
Of rogueness.
And then I've got a Liverpool player for Jürgen's last game. So I might get another Liverpool player in for sentimental reasons. But Walker to Vardiol, it's probably going to happen, isn't it? Boring as that is, it's probably going to happen. This week, go on then, tell us.
So it'll be obviously big All Stations go heading into game week 38. I'll be at Spurs on Tuesday night. So, you know, expect some Instagram content around that.
Not knowing how to feel.
God, Haaland. Maybe they can leave Haaland at home. That'd be quite nice. FPL will probably be back on Thursday.
Of course.
I'm back above Ian at the moment.
Okay.
Isak and Haaland.
That's the dynamic again, is it? Yeah.
Doesn't have Vardiol either, though. So yeah, FPL will be back on Thursday. As and I will be Q&A-ing on Friday. And then we'll have the final
FPL
family of
the
season.
Seven.
Yeah. On Sunday, where reviewing our predictions, we'll be reviewing our season. The Wooden Spoon Trophy will be coming back out. Although we actually need to buy a new Wooden Spoon Trophy because you've won that one so many times, it's supposed to be yours to keep forever. It's like when you win it three times, you have to keep it forever.
Really?
So we should be really getting another one, but we'll keep with the Wooden Spoon Trophy, which you will undoubtedly be handing to me.
Well, I bloody hope so.
I mean, you should. If you throw it away now,
I'm doing my best to screw it up, and
if
you're doing
your
best to throw these Hail Marys in.
What's the points difference? Because it was 60.
2369 for me. 2327 for you. So 69 minus 27. So 62, 47. Still quite a lot. 47. It's got to be catastrophic, isn't it, for me to slip up from here? But it could be.
I mean, I've taken a third of it away this week.
Yeah.
So far.
Trust me, I know.
If Haaland blanks and Isak goes off,
Haaland's
it's on.
Not, he's not blanking again.
It's
he?
On.
He's not blanking again.
Anyway, then we'll be back on Sunday. But it's actually next week that's really, really busy because it's all the rap content that we'll be doing. This week will be just normal service for us. No Sky because Evie's got dance shows all weekend.
Adam's saying, Lee, your maths. I've got that wrong then, have I? Probably.
What is it?
I don't know. Adam, if your maths is so good, mate, you can tell me what the difference is.
It's like Kelly. It's like working with Kelly. Her maths is dreadful on the pod. Live maths always
is. Is that everything for this week?
I think so, Dom.
Good. All right, good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for the penultimate... 42, people are saying. Lee, get a calculator.
Oh, 42, that's definitely doable.
It's on, isn't it? It's on.
Oh, it's on. The fight back is coming.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight on FPL Family. leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. We'll be back, as Sam says, next Sunday at 8:34.
Might be late.
The rap show might be a bit late, actually. Yeah,
because of the dancing shows.
Well, and the football. There's some important football going on. You know, there'll be some... I need to emotionally prepare myself to talk. It's one thing to watch Klopp's last game. It's going to be another thing to actually come on here and talk about it.
I won't be here to help you, support you through that either, because I'll be watching Evie dancing. But and also, you've got to make the dinner while that's on.
It's going to get emotional. You've got to cook the dinner. We'll be here at either 8:30 or 9 o'clock, probably 9 o'clock, based on what you just said. But we'll see you then. Good luck with the rest of Game Week 37. There's loads of football still to go. It's a bit of a weird time to do a live stream mid Game Week 37, but we thought we'd give you a feel for where we're at so far anyway. But leave us a like, hit subscribe. We'll see you next Sunday. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everyone.